these readings speak to one of the most difficult works of mercy, the spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner. To admonish means to warn or reprimand a person. And so to warn or reprimand somebody who is seriously sinning is a work of mercy. Of course, this is not an easy thing to do. There's a tremendous amount of fear of confronting somebody on their behavior. All right, and this is perhaps especially true for those who have tried to confront somebody in the past and didn't experience good results. Maybe they were even the one who was accused of sin in return. Well, the first reading really does explain to us the seriousness of admonishing the sinner. And the gospel gives us a way that we can do that. But the reading does confirm perhaps a frustrating experience that the church is not a place that is going to be completely free of conflict. As much as we'd like for the church to be completely perfect, it just isn't that way. And Jesus himself even says this. He says, if your brother sins against you. And he's not talking only about a biological relative here. He's talking about another disciple, another Christian. And so he even recognizes that other disciples, other Catholics, they're going to sin against us from time to time, and we're going to sin against them perhaps. So even Jesus himself acknowledges that, yeah, other members of the church might do things that harm us. However, the fact that the church is called to be light, that city set on the hill, means that we should handle these conflicts differently than we see other places. And so these readings are very important. They give us that way forward, and they shed light on the importance of reconciliation of enemies, and also the opportunity that God gives us for relationships to heal. All right, this gives us hope for conversion. And there's one thing that we absolutely must believe. We must believe that God actually delights in reconciliation. God absolutely delights in those moments when enemies become allies. And he delights when we experience a conversion of heart. All right, few things give glory to God like those moments of conversion where we learn to turn away from our own ways and to trust in his ways. Now that's really the first thing that we need to believe in order to put Jesus' words into practice here. All right, again, God delights in us when we reconcile. But we also, as a corollary, need to be mindful of how our division offends him. All right, and some of you who are parents, you might understand this a little bit by analogy here. I'll tell you that in my home growing up, my brother and I fought a lot. It seems, looking back on it, like almost every single day we had some type of fight, whether it was physical or whatever. Of course, you know, it would usually start with us actually playing a game together, playing a sport together, and then things get a little too rough. It was usually me who would get a little too rough, since I was the older brother, you know, I'd use my strength to my advantage, and that would escalate things. All of a sudden, it wasn't good. And I know, looking back on it, that this conflict made my mother very sad. All right, it made her very sad. Parents really struggle when their children are in conflict with each other. When two people that they love more than anything, just can't love each other. It's very difficult. It causes stress and anxiety. And it's offensive to the parents. All right? And, you know, I understand this as well in my own way of life. All right? I've seen conflicts in some of our parishes. And it does make me very sad when I see that conflict. All right? And especially here in Cowlitz County, whether it's Longview, Kelso, Castle Rock, or Cathlamet over in Wakayakum County, you know, these are towns that have a very small town culture. Cathlamet and Castle Rock, of course, are small towns, but Kelso and Longview, even though they're not that small, there's still a small town culture. And some of the conflicts that we see in our parishes go back decades. And for some people, they're actually afraid and maybe even hesitant to attend Mass regularly because they're afraid that at Mass, that someone that they've been in conflict with is going to be there, all right? And so it's very difficult. And so that saddens me greatly to see people that I've come to care about very deeply, that there's conflict and that they struggle to get along, all right? Well, God himself is offended and frustrated by all human division, but especially division in his family, the church. And so we glorify God immensely when we reconcile, especially when we reconcile with other people in the church. And yeah, it's awkward and uncomfortable to approach somebody to let them know that they've harmed you, that they've sinned against you, and to reconcile with them. In fact, I know this, and I know that the gospel, the words of Jesus, are true. And I'd love to tell you that I know that they're true because I've always taken them seriously. And they've always been on my mind. And I've applied these teachings of Jesus and experienced wonderful results of reconciliation. Unfortunately, I really know that these words are true more from my failures than any successes. It's the times where I've chosen to try and end conflict my way rather than relying on the wisdom of Jesus' own words. And so one failure that I've made is not establishing facts with both parties present and without witnesses present. All right, the teaching of Jesus shows us that when we go through this process of reconciliation and we pass that step where we talk to the person directly, we get to that second step where we're supposed to take them, and this is presuming, of course, that these are both Catholics, these are both people of the same church here. We take them to the church, and it says that both people and the witnesses should make sure that the facts are established. Now, I failed to do this at times because in order to try to mediate, I've gone to the people individually. You know, I'm going to be really uncomfortable with these two people in the same room. I'm going to avoid that. So I'm just going to talk to them individually. And you know what? No real need to bring other witnesses into this. You know, that would be a burden to them. So I'm just going to do this on my own. I'm going to talk to each person individually. And I'm going to get the facts that way. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't. When I do it that way, I find myself getting even more confused about what the facts are. All right? Another failure is not discerning the motives of people who are trying to go through this process of reconciliation. Now, I've seen this before from different angles, okay? About every angle imaginable, as one who's sinned against another person, as one who's been sinned against, and of course, as one who tries to mediate some of this conflict, all right? And I'll say that, again, we need to be very careful that we're dealing with reconciliation and not some other thing, okay? I'll tell you that Getting justice is not the same as getting even. All right, and we should always, as Catholics, try to help people seek and receive justice. But revenge is not justice. All right? And so sometimes we have to discern ourselves. What's motivating us in this? Are we admonishing people out of revenge or anger towards the sinner? Is it because, gosh, you know, we're in this power struggle with another person and we need to make sure that the priest and other prominent parishioners are on our side? Okay? Because that does happen from time to time. So we've got to be able to discern what the motivation is. Is it reconciliation? Is it healing? Or is it something else? Is it more revenge and power? Similarly, when we mediate a conflict as a representative of the church, if we get the impression, and again, you know, it's not just someone calls up and makes an appointment. You, as a baptized Christian, might find two of your friends in this, and you might sort of represent the church in a similar conflict. And so, as you mediate these conflicts, if you ever get the impression that a person wants revenge, or a person just wants power, you shouldn't involve yourself in the dispute. All right? And yes, there are many people today who confuse justice with revenge. Finally, and this is probably the most important mistake I've made, probably the most important failure in going through this process of reconciliation, is that I forget that Jesus himself is present in the process of reconciliation. At the very end of this reading, it says, "Where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, there I am in the midst of them." And the context here is in this process of reconciliation. When we actually go through the process of reconciliation as Jesus lays out here, he's with us. He's in our midst. And so remembering that is important, because we got to remember it's not just us and our own psychology and our own abilities at play here. It's not. The Lord himself is working in the hearts of the people. Going through this process as he lays it out gives him that opportunity to intervene in their hearts. And, you know, the reality is sometimes this process of reconciliation doesn't bear fruit. Jesus acknowledges that too, that even after that, it might be the case that they don't change their ways and that reconciliation does not occur. But, again, we don't need to blame ourselves for that if it fails. All right? The Lord himself was in that, and he allows people sometimes to remain in their hardness of heart for some purpose. There really isn't anything more merciful that we can do, and there really isn't anything more salvific. There really isn't a way that we can honor God more than to help people reconcile and to reconcile with others ourselves. This brings glory to God. It brings peace to our community. It brings peace to our entire world.